This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. COVID-19 and the stay-at-home directives enacted to minimize its spread have led to a shocking decline in employment. For many, the loss of wages means an increased reliance on food distribution centers. The Central California Food Bank works with churches, community centers, and schools to distribute food in Fresno, Madera, Kings, Kern, and Tulare counties. I spoke with the nonprofit's chief operation officer, Natalie Caples, about how the coronavirus has escalated the Valley's hunger crisis.
Can you give us a sense of how the demand for food has changed since the outbreak of the pandemic?
Yes. So over the last 7 weeks or so, our agency partners have seen anywhere between 40 to 100% increase in families or individuals seeking emergency food services. Obviously, this puts an immense amount of strain on the emergency food network. And so Central California Food Bank is doing everything we can to be able to equip our agencies and provide them with food and fill in gaps maybe where maybe we don't have an existing agency or we are seeing just a high volume of need.
That is absolutely staggering. Can you explain in more detail how your operations have changed to meet this increase in demand?
We're kind of in an interesting position where at a time where we're seeing the increased need for emergency food services, some of our agencies have actually decided to close because of the potential risk that the pandemic presents. So the way that we have been modifying our operations to be able to keep up with the demand is we are partnering with organizations where maybe we haven't partnered with in the past to be able to continue to distribute food. So for us, you know, one of the biggest things in kind of looking at how the pandemic has changed our operations is when an agency closes, do we have the capacity to meet the need on our own? Or do we need to collaborate with other individuals or other community-based organizations to help us meet the need? One of the groups that was identified very early on is our farm working population. We're in a rural community. Ag is our driving, you know, ag really drives our economy. And we were hearing from multiple partners kind of on the ground that our farm workers didn't have access to food distributions when they needed it. And so we're partnering with organizations that are specifically serving those farm workers in the ag community. We're partnering with schools because families, you know, are no longer, kids are no longer in school because of the school closures. Maybe families don't have access to school meals that are currently being provided. And so we're working with local schools, both, you know, city and county and rural areas to be able to meet the growing need of families with kids because school is out and they no longer have access to free and reduced meals. A really exciting partnership that, you know, just recently happened to be, you know, because of the pandemic is Bitwise is launched their Take Care grocery delivery app, where you can request a delivery if, you know, you're immunocompromised or you can't leave the house because you're quarantined or you are in a population that maybe would have a more adverse reaction if you contracted the virus. And so because Bitwise decided to make this investment, their partner is Neighborhood Industries. We've partnered with Neighborhood Industries to provide food. So before, where we didn't have access to individual household delivery, because we are looking at innovative ways to partner, we're looking at community-based organizations that are already doing amazing work, and we're able to partner with them to maximize our reach. So we're just really thankful that we have these opportunities here in the Central Valley. We have people that, you know, in a time of crisis are rallying together to figure out how do we really solve this problem. And so for us, you know, our changing operations is thinking outside of the box, you know, partnering with individuals that maybe have the capacity to do something that we weren't currently doing, and partnering with community-based organizations to really address those gaps in our services.
You spoke about some of the particular populations that you're working to reach, but I'd like to speak about this in terms of geography. Mm-hmm. You serve such a wide geographic area. Have you found that there are certain communities that perhaps have been harder hit compared to other areas?
I think typically what we see across the board is there are less access to services in our rural areas. But I think that we're seeing the effects of this pandemic across the board. Anecdotally, of course, you know, in rural areas, there's less access to, you know, to a grocery store that's within driving distance, or maybe distributions, disproportionately occur during the day. So if you are a part-time worker that's working during the time of the distribution, you can't make it there. So there are some other, you know, compounding factors that make it a little bit harder for our rural populations to access services, but just the need across our 5-county service area has spiked. It doesn't matter if you're in Fresno, Visalia, or if you're in Coalinga.
What kind of support have you received through either state or federal aid programs?
Oh, yes, that's complicated. There are a couple of different programs that both the state and federal government are working through to address kind of two different scenarios. So let's tackle the federal program first. The federal government rolled out, I think, in the middle of April, their intention to provide support to food distributors and the ag community because they felt that they were hard hit, you know, by the pandemic. Obviously, with food distributors, you see contracts with, you know, hotels, school districts, restaurants, things like that falling by the wayside because of the shelter in place orders. And the ag industry was also disproportionately affected because they're serving those contracts that food distributors, right, are serving. And so the federal government decided to roll out a farmer to family food box. And this process involved essentially food distributors, ag, dairy, and the protein industry. They could submit a proposal to be able to produce these food boxes, which would then be distributed to a nonprofit entity of their choice. It was a little bit of a complicated process, but through a lot of networking with our member organization, Feeding America, with a lot of really great work from our food acquisitions manager, Jacqueline Pack, we were able to be named as the beneficiary in a few different bids. We probably won't know until next week if one of the proposals that we were included on is going to be awarded the contract. But essentially, if we were awarded that contract, we could potentially be the recipient of essentially what they're calling a mixed box. So we would get a mixed box of produce and potentially an opportunity to receive a mixed box of dairy and protein items. And that's really important because historically, distributing perishable product like dairy and meat, it is a little bit harder for food banks just because of our limited storage capacity, but also because the way that we operate is a hub and spoke model where we typically don't operate direct distributions to the community. One of the primary And there are a couple of exceptions to that, but the primary way that we serve our community is through our network of agency partners. We have 180 or so of those agencies across our 5-county service area. And because we have limited cooler and freezer storage capacity, our agencies definitely have limited freezer and cooler storage capacity. Typically, the foods that we distribute to our clients are shelf-stable pantry items. And so this is an amazing opportunity, even though it's a little complicated, to provide clients with food items that they wouldn't typically get through an agency pantry or food distribution. So although nothing is certain yet, we are hoping that we would be the beneficiary of one of those granted contracts. The state government has decided to make an additional investment in a program run by the state association, which is the Farm to Family program. And so they're going to be making a monetary investment in that program, which helps connect farmers and packers and individuals in the ag community to the state association, where they could get a percentage reimbursed for providing product into this Farm to Family network. And I believe there are anywhere between 40 and 50 food banks in California that could benefit because of this, the additional investment that the governor announced, I think it was last week.
So one thing that we've seen is a real desire among those in the community whose health and income have not been impacted by COVID-19 to find a way to be helpful, be productive in this time. Has that translated into an increase in support for Central Valley Food Bank?
So we have gotten an amazing response from our community, both in monetary donations and individuals that really are rallying to support the basic need, right? Basic human need, which is one of them is food. And so we're very lucky that we have that we do have a recognizable profile here in the Central Valley. People really are stepping up to meet the need specifically to provide relief during the pandemic. And so we're so grateful for their partnership. We're so grateful that they see the need and they feel the call to act.
And then quickly before we wrap up, for those listening who need access to food, what should they do?
You can visit our website, which is ccfoodbank.org. We have a food locator on our website. So you could type in your address and it populates agency pantries or distributions that are close to you. And we also have a distribution calendar on our website, which lists what we call neighborhood markets or direct distributions. And these are, think of these distributions like the farmer's market of Central California Food Bank distributions, where we provide a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables, other produce and other items to the community free of charge. So those, it's always the best option to visit our website. We're updating it daily, you know, because things, as we know, during this pandemic, things are constantly changing. And so ccfoodbank.org and our food locator has the most accurate up-to-date information for all of our agency and direct service distributions in our five-county service area.
Natalie Caples, thank you so much for being with us and the work you're doing to feed the Central Valley.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and allowing us to talk a little bit about what we're doing.